Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing? Can you hear me, Mac? What is going on? Excuse me, folks. Let me see what's going on. Matt can't hear me for some reason. I want you guys to call in 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. I'm going to check out to find out what's going on with this live radio, folks. Apologize for the technical difficulties. Let's see what's going on here.
In addition to the MVP, Cam was named the Offensive Player of the Year. J.J. Watt, the Defensive Year. Ron Rivera.
This is having technical difficulties. It just the connection just cut off for whatever reason. Trying to see what's going on here. What the heck is going on? Mac, are you here? Jesus. Hello? Hello, welcome back, folks. We're having unprecedented technical difficulties. Apologize for that. Macaulay should be getting back on the show momentarily. Again, I apologize. We're having all these crazy technical difficulties on the show. Yes, moving on along from the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, which all these guys are deserving. We're going to move on briefly to the Mets. They officially unveiled Yoenis Cespedes as a Met. And, basically, Cespedes revealed that, he's committed to the Mets for the 3-year deal. So it looks like he's hinting he might not opt out, but, we'll just wait and see with that one. So we'll see what happened. Sandy Alderson hinted that, this will be, they're not going to make any major free agent signings unless if it's on a minor league deal, with a veteran reliever. Basically, the offense is set, and they're leaving themselves that flexibility to improve, around the trade deadline, which got extended to August 1st later this year. We'll see what happens with the Mets in the upcoming season. Hopefully, they can get back to the playoffs. Mac, you're here?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
I was just, talking about the Mets press conference, promoting the re-signing of Yoenis Cespedes with the Mets. But, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's great. They had to bring the guy back. He has major power to the team. And, he is the Mets offense when you think about it, because there's not a lot of power in that lineup. So they needed to bring him back. He gives you that big bat in a lineup that, that pitchers are afraid to pitch to.
Absolutely. And Mets, they're going to try to relive history, follow the Royals' blueprint. Last year, the Royals, after they went to the World Series in 2014, they lost, in the World Series. So now, after that, the following year, on their 30th anniversary, the Royals won their championship. And now Mets are going to try to do the same thing this year on their 30th anniversary. They're going to try to win another NBA title. I mean, not NBA title, the World Series. My mind is like out of it right now. I'm sorry. Yes, they're going to try to win the World Series. But getting to that, favorite moments. Unfortunately, when the Mets last won their championship was 86. And, unfortunately, I was just 3, so I wasn't able to relive that moment. But since you were fortunate enough to be a Yankee fan and you've witnessed five championships with the, you know, being a Yankee fans, being a Yankee fan, I should say, what was your favorite moment as a Yankee fan?
Well, I mean, there's been a lot, you know. I was actually watching some Yankee clips today. You know, I watched some of the 96 World Series, some of the 98 World Series, that game one where, you know, Tino hit that grand slam to put the Yankees ahead. Some of the 99 World Series when they beat the Braves. And the 2001 World Series where, you know, the Yankees were down 2-0 to the D-backs. They managed to win three games at home. And those three games at home were phenomenal, man, because that was that year was – that came right after September 11th, you know.
Right.
And the city was pulling for the Yanks to win the championship that year, you know. And Yankees managed to win all those three games at Yankee Stadium in walk-off fashion, you know. They – what was the D-backs closing name? Young Kim, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
He managed to blow saves back-to-back, you know, to the Yankees. And, yeah, Yankees managed to win, you know, those games in walk-off fashion. And, you know, they did end up losing the series, losing all the two games in Arizona. But, you know, that series was, you know, it was fun to watch, you know. And it was during the time where people were mourning the loss of, the deaths of, the, you know, those people who died in that September 11 attack. You know, so the Yankees were trying to win one for those people who lost their lives. But unfortunately, they came up short. But, you know, that was one of the best World Series I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, those were very awesome moments, memorable moments for any Yankee fan, you know, to... you know, witness, you know, you know, all those titles, perfect games that, you know, and no hitters that you've seen from, you know, Doc Gooden, David Cone, David Wells.
Yeah.
And, like you were talking about, even the 2001 World Series, even though it was in a losing effort, you know, you saw Byung Kim, you know, blow the saves, you know.
Yeah.
Against Tino Martinez and Jeter giving up monster home runs, you know. Like you said, you know, it was very memorable because, you know, obviously 9/11 happened. And one of my favorite moments as a Met, you know, if not my favorite, was Mike Piazza. I mean, I remember that game like if it was yesterday. The 9/11 games, it was 10 days after 9/11. And Mets were down 2-1 to the rival Braves, I should say. And the Mets were down. I think this was in the bottom of the eighth. And I think Steve Carsey was on the mound, if my memory serves me right. And Mets were down. You know, it was a very somber day because obviously everybody had 9/11 on their minds. The Mets were down. The players really wanted to win that game. The fans, you know, they were, you know, still distraught about what happened. And it was just a somber day, you know. Diana Ross was singing, God Bless America, and you know, you had the police, the fire department, and you know, all the people, who serve, you know, this country, and especially New York City, you know, were there to, you know, give support to the state of New York. And when Piazza hit that home run, it was like, it was unbelievable. You know, the whole stadium erupted. I was excited because I hated the Braves. I mean, I still do, but yeah, this was during the peak of the Brave Mets rivalry. And it was an awesome moment. And then, you know, I was excited. And then I was like, oh, man. You know, I was excited. And then I remembered, that this wasn't a walk-off. Benitez had the pitch in the top of the ninth, and as you all know, as every Yankee fan will tell you, Benitez doesn't pitch well against the Yankees or the Braves. So he made it interesting against the Braves that day, but fortunately, he got the save. Brian Jordan would, you know, wreak havoc against Benitez and Franco, you know, shortly that later that month. But and as a result, the Mets weren't able to get to the playoffs that year. And then the year later, they got Burnett and Alomar and Movon, and you know, let's not get into that. We're only talking about memorable moments.
Yep.
But yeah, that would be another moment. Basically, yeah, Daniel Murphy's stretch in this postseason would be another one with him, homering every game against Jake Arrieta and Kershaw, Greinke. That was a very impressive moment just to see the young Met pitchers, you know, dominate. That was awesome as well. And then seeing the Mets finally go to the World Series, you know, for first time since 2000. I mean, that was amazing. Obviously, in good fashion, but it was impressive to see. And another single along with 9/11, another memorable moment I had as a Met fan is the Johan Santana no-hitter. And that was something I never thought I'd see happen as a Met. And, you know, when I finally gave up hope, I thought it was going to be Ari Dickey that was going to do it. Because, you know, Mets never, I thought it would be someone you wouldn't expect it to be. But it finally happened.
Yeah, and I remember that. Johan got a lot of help in that game, you know.
I know you're referring to the referee not seeing that double by Beltran.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That was, you know, the referee missed that call. I admit that. You know, but good thing is, you know, the Mets, they beat Wainwright. I mean, they didn't do it in Game 7 and LCS, but, you know, they basically got their, a little bit of revenge. I mean, it's not major revenge because it wasn't in the playoffs or anything like that, but they got, but, you know, they etched their way into history. You know, Mike Baxter, Queens native, you know, then a Met, he robbed Yadier Molina of an extra base hit, which would have ruined the no-hitter in the seventh, I think, that happened. And basically all the people who were responsible of, you know, messing with the Mets in 06, they... You know, they got a little bit of their revenge on them. And, of course, you know, Beltran, you know, was the scapegoat of the 06 when he struck out looking, you know. Well, unfortunately, you know, it could happen to anybody. But, fortunately, you know, the Mets weren't able to go to the World Series that year. And, you know, that was the last time they went to the they went to the postseason prior to the 2015 season.
Yeah, and you know, talk about the Mets. I was watching something. Well, this is a Yankee Met game I was watching earlier today. Back in 2009.
The Luis Castillo game.
Yankees win in the most unusual walk-off fashion you'll ever see. A simple pop-up.
Yes, the Luis Castillo game.
K-Rod, you know, looks to get the final pitch. A-Rod pops up. Luis Castillo backs up to get the ball. And you're thinking, okay, game's over. He's going to catch this. But I don't know what happened there, but, you know, I guess maybe he was distracted by something in the sky. But the ball ended up hitting his glove, falling to the floor. Luis stumbles. And
oh man,
2-run score and Yankees end up winning in one of the strangest way you could win on the pop up to end the game. I've never seen anything like that to this day.
I totally agree with you. You know, it was a crazy way to win the game, but you know, those Met Yankees series, you know, they're you know, a lot of crazy stuff happens, you know. But you know, speaking of memorable sports moments, you know, of course, you know, you have the home run from Bill Mazeroski, you know, which was the first walk off home run in 1960 with the Pirates against the Yankees. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's also obviously the 2001 World Series that we were talking about earlier, when Luis Gonzalez hit a bloop single over Jeter head and they won the World Series that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of memorable moments. You know, Joe Carter hitting a walk off home run off the Phillies, and Mitch Williams to clinch that World Series, you know, where they, you know, I obviously went back to back.
Yeah.
Those in 92 and 93. What other memorable baseball moments you can think of?
Yeah, man, there's been so many. I mean, the perfect game by
Whitey Ford.
Whitey Ford,
1956. I think it was 1956.
You know, that
was
a perfect game.
Jackie Robinson's last game, too.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. No pitcher has come close to pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game in the postseason yet since then, you know?
It's been awesome.
Hopefully we see it in this lifetime.
Hopefully one of these Mets pitchers can throw one against one of these teams in the World Series. We'll see what happens. Another memorable moment in football that I could think of is, you know, the Buffalo Bills. You know, they had awesome teams and went to four straight Super Bowls, but unfortunately for them, you know, they weren't able to, win one, especially the memorable missed field goal.
Three straight years they went to the Super Bowl and didn't win it, right?
Four
straight years. Wow.
Yeah.
You would think out of one of those years they would win it, but damn, four straight years, damn.
Yeah, and then you had the Braves. Yeah, I know that sucked. You had the Braves in the early '90s to the till 2005. They went to the playoffs. They won a bunch of division titles. They won the World Series in '95, and you know, after that they lost the World Series in '96 and '99 to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Great teams in those 90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should have won more than just one.
Yeah, I think the 90s was like the last great sports era in sports. I mean, obviously, there were still great teams, you know, in the early 2000s, obviously. You know, the Lakers and, of course, you know, the Spurs, you know, winning titles.
What about the 96
the
Bulls?
Oh yeah, that's a dominant team. Dominant team.
72-10.
Yeah. That's just,
and right
that's
now,
just impressive.
The Warriors right now are trying to beat that record. You know, the Warriors have only lost four or five games, so they might break it.
Yeah. They might. If Warriors don't do it this year, no team will do it.
Yeah.
But the Warriors, they look like they're well on their way of doing that. What about Nick? What memorable Nick moment would you say?
Oh, man. The Nick moment that stands in my mind the most is that Larry Johnson four-point play against the Pacers in the 99 Eastern Conference Finals, man. Game three. And that was the most memorable Nick moment that comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely one for me as well. Also, 94, when they clinched the Eastern Conference Finals, and Ewing finally made it to the, you know, to the NBA Finals, where he would battle the you know, the Rockets to a decisive Game 7 in losing effort. That's memorable to me. Unfortunately, another memorable moment to me during that series is, of course, unfortunately, the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, which, you know, because of the mini series that came out, you know, a lot of people are talking about that again. But, yeah, if you remember, during the NBA Finals, they cut to the NBA Finals and they did a split screen between, you know, O.J.'s white Bronco and, you know, the game.
Yep. I remember that as if it were yesterday.
Yeah. And
I think I was in I think I was
junior
in
high.
Sixth grade, something like that.
Yeah, I was in junior high at that time.
Yeah.
Very shocking moment, because up until that point, OJ was a beloved figure, especially if you watch shows and movies in the 70s and 80s, like Good Times or Mork and Mindy. I mean, people loved O.J., you know, obviously, because this was before, you know, he allegedly killed his wife and, you know, Ronnie Goldman. But, yeah, it was shocking. This guy was a huge star, and what looks like jealousy, since his wife, you know, I assume he thought she moved on, maybe with Ron Goldman. I have no idea. And that's what, I don't know, allegedly led to what happened, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's
that was
very tragic.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, talking about the Super Bowl tomorrow, and, you know, the Broncos have a chance to be, their defense has a chance to be one of the greatest of all time. And the greatest defense of all time in the Super Bowl has to be the 85 Bears. I mean, that team was historic, man. They went 15-1, just like the Panthers are right now. And that defense was dominant. I think they won the championship game. Well, it was a blowout win, I think. Let me see, what was the final score in that Super Bowl? I think it was like they scored 46 points or something like that. Let me see here.
Are you talking about a memorable Super Bowl? It would be Super Bowl III, you know, with Joe Namath's promise. You know, the Baltimore Colts were talking smack on the Jets, and, you know, Namath was confident in his team, and, you know, he guaranteed that they would win, and sure enough, they won. And that was the only time the Jets won, and that was the first time an AFL team would win the Super Bowl. And as a result, the AFL would be absorbed into the NFL, and that's why we have the NFC and the AFC conferences right now.
Yeah, definitely.
And Jets are, of course, are still in chase of that Super Bowl. And like you mentioned, Panthers, they have a chance to be as dominant as the 85 Bears. You know,
I mentioned the Broncos, but I guess the Panthers too. Their team could be just as good as the Bears, but Bears in 85, they won the Super Bowl 46-10 against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
In that postseason, they only allowed 10 points alone. You know, so
that
was great.
That is impressive. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
clearly. And, you know, Cam Newton, he won the NFL MVP, and his coach, Ron Rivera, won the NFL Coach of the Year. So congrats to them.
Yeah.
And
congrats.
Later tonight, they're going to try to add to that hardware and bring that Vince Lombardi trophy to Carolina.
Should be good.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Cam Newton has a chance to, you know, win his first ever title.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Manning's going to try to win his second ever Super Bowl title in his first with what was I gonna say? His first with the Broncos. After a few years ago, he got his team got their butt kicked in the Super Bowl a few years ago in a blowout. So Peyton's trying to avoid that. The problem is, you know, Peyton has Father Time has caught up with him, and all those those surgeries, you know, it's gonna pay a toll. Can Peyton Manning turn back the clock one last time, in what could be his last game, or will Cam Newton finally seal his impressive season with a Vince Lombardi Trophy? And we definitely gotta look forward to with the Super Bowl coming down later tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, the Panthers, they're definitely trying to bring that Super Bowl finally to Carolina.
Yeah, everyone's picking them right now, so, you know, but don't underestimate the Broncos, man. The Broncos, that defense is going to be flying tomorrow.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. Both teams are hungry.
Yeah.
And they're both well-deserved teams, you know. Both got two great quarterbacks, battling out. The veteran versus the young guy, the mobile quarterback. You know, it's going to be – this one looks like it's going to be one for the ages, for sure.
Yeah.
And another thing, hockey, you had the Rangers in 94. They ended their curse since 1940 and won the Stanley Cup in 94.
Oh yeah, that was memorable because both Garden team were in the championship that year.
Yeah, fortunately, the Knicks couldn't have won, but yeah. Knicks got to get their act together, hopefully with Porzingis, maybe Melo, if Melo can stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to stay healthy lately. Hopefully they could do that in the future. Maybe.
Hope so.
Any last word you'd like to say?
Check out my show, IMAX, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports and Legend every Sundays at midnight.
You're the man. Check out both shows. I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Sports on the Legend. I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. And enjoy the Super Bowl. And have a wonderful day. Peace.